Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Trinadavi Sunichena Tarare Vasahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Namai Vakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gachiranyata Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jai. So, today's class is Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can tell me what is the definition of Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes? Just the pastimes of the Lord, that's that. And his what? Devotees. Yes. And the significance of the word Srimad, because it's called Srimad Bhagavatam. The beautiful, the blessed. So it is the beautiful description of God interacting with his devotees. Good. Are you ready to proceed? Some of you look very tired. What? Go call him and come right back, please. All right. So, last time I came last week, we did a verse from chapter 2, which is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. What is a Sanskrit word for divine service? Yes. The full term is Bhakti Yoga. How many methods are there in Bhakti Yoga? How many methods?
Nine.
What are the two most important? Yes. Hearing and chanting about God. All right. So this second chapter is the response by Suta Goswami about six questions that were asked him in chapter 1 by Shaunaka Rishi. So let us now study a very important verse. Are you ready? Please repeat. Tach Shraddhana Munayo. Tach Shraddhana Munayo. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Pashanti Atmani Chatmanang. Pashyantyatmani Chatmanang. Bhaktya Shruta Grahitaya. Bhaktya Shruta Grahitaya. All right. Now let's see what these words mean. Please repeat. Tat, that. Shraddhana. Seriously inquisitive. Govind, what does this word inquisitive mean? You need to know what these words mean. Madhav. Yes, inquisitive means that somebody is curious and is asking questions about a subject matter. What do you got there? Next word. Munaya. Sages. Jnana. Knowledge. Now, this word sage. In English, you may sometimes hear this expression. The expert was asked for his sage advice. Very, very intelligent. That's the significance of sage. Somebody who's very knowledgeable. Somebody who's very intelligent. So a sage, that's what a sage is. Somebody who's very wise. Okay, next word. Jnana, knowledge. Madhav, what are the two divisions of knowledge? Correct. Govind, of the two, which one is temporary and which one is eternal? Very good. Next word. Yuktaya, well equipped with. So, equipped. A football, baseball, basketball team has to have the equipment, uniforms, the different items in order to play the game. If you're not equipped properly, you won't win. So, a sage is equipped with something. Next word. Pashyanti. See. Now, I'm going to ask Chiron. When we come to transcendental subject matter, how do we see? Tell me, how do we see? Yes, that is correct. We see things. How do we see when it comes to transcendental subject matter? How do we see? Good. How would you answer the question? How do we see? Ignore it. Don't you know? Madhav, how do we see? Very good. The answer I was looking for, we see through the ears, not with these. These are defective. But these, and then you gave the other part of the answer. When you hear through the, or see through the scriptures, or through the spiritual master, when you hear, now you see. You've heard me give the example many times. Somebody gives me a cup of water. To me, it looks like a cup of water. But Govinda says, Prabhu, don't. Somebody put poison in it. So that hearing supersedes my seeing. You see the difference? So hearing from the authority is how you see. Hearing from the authority. And that's even true in material life. Something may look a certain way, but the authority tells you, you're making a big mistake. I'll give you another practical example that's been going on since the dawn of creation. A young man looks at a beautiful girl and thinks, oh, she is so wonderful. But then he hears from her girlfriends, or she hears from guys that she was with previously, how she's actually very, very evil. That changes the whole perspective. Say another example. A girl and a boy are about to get married. This happens even in India. Not I have personal experience, but people I know. They were led to believe that they were marrying a very prestigious family, and after, when it's too late, they find out they got cheated. So, don't go by looks. Don't go by looks. Don't judge a book by its cover. Very good. Very good. All right, shall we continue? Next word, Atmani. Within oneself. Cha and Atmanam. The Param Atma. Kairan, can you give me an English translation of Param Atma? Super Soul. Who is the Super Soul? Krishna. Govind, what is Krishna's position? That's good in terms of Super Soul. But what's his general position? Yeah, you're what is Krishna's post in general? The Supreme, he's God. Follow? All right. Next word, bhaktya. In devotional service, Shruta, the Vedas, Grahitaya, well received. All right, before we go to the translation, the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth. By rendering devotional service in terms of what one has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So before we go to Prabhupada's purport, I would like to explain this verse to you in Nirantara language. All right? So, seriously inquisitive. That's the first thing. When we come to spiritual life, we should be seriously inquisitive. Prabhupada says there's only a couple of things you really need. Serious, sincere, like that. Both go together. Serious and sincere. So seriously inquisitive. Anyone who wants to perfect any aspect of life has to become seriously inquisitive. For instance, in my own life, I taught myself how to play guitar. When I was 13, I didn't come from a wealthy family, so we could not spend money on music lessons. So I had to teach myself. How did I teach myself? I got a couple of books, but they weren't very helpful. I learned by hearing. I would play the song over and over and over and over and over again, and then I tried to play. And when I was able to play along with the record, that's when I knew I learned. So, and as I went from 13, 14, as I grew up, I would inquire and learn as much as I could about the guitar. I was serious and I was inquisitive. So if you want to advance in anything in the material world, you have to be serious and inquisitive. What to speak about realizing God. Now the next thing. Well equipped with knowledge and detachment. I explained before. If you're on an athletic team, you need equipment. Say you're going to play football. You better have equipment or else you're going to get killed. You got to have a nice cup. You know what a cup is? Because football is not a nicey-nicey game. Not like tennis. No. You got to have appropriate equipment. So the seriously inquisitive student and sage is equipped with knowledge and detachment. We discussed detachment in our last class. Quiz time. Let's see who remembers what detachment means. All right, you go first, Mukund. What thing?
Any material thing. Or material object.
Good. Chiron, what is your definition of detachment? Yes, that's the other side. Did I give the example of the coin? I gave the example of a scale, but also I gave an example of a coin. Coin has two sides. So the other side of detachment is what? Be attached to Krishna. Now, Govind, if I only have one half of the coin, if I'm only detached from the material world, what kind of transcendentalist am I? I'm not attached to Krishna, but I'm thoroughly detached from material sense gratification. What kind of transcendentalist am I? Yes! Impersonalist. If I'm a devotee, I have both sides of the coin. I'm detached from things, no. Material sense gratification. Things is like, it's not a very mature way of explaining. Material sense gratification. And as Chiron pointed out, I'm attached to serving Krishna. Now, what are the four major groups of sense gratification? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Those are the four major categories of sense gratification. So I need to be detached. How is a devotee detached from eating? What does that mean? And therefore, what is he detached from? Eating. Such as? Anything else? That's a higher level. That's a high, you're going up higher. Meat, just meat? Fish? Eggies? Right. Yes. Meat, fish, and eggs. Very good. All right, what was the second item? Eating, you mentioned it. Right. How is a devotee detached from sleeping? That's good. Why is that so big? Right. So give me, so explain more how a devotee is detached from sleeping. Yes, because those who are attached to sleeping want to sleep more, especially tomorrow morning. Right? The non-devotees, Saturday comes, I'm not getting up till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes. I know such people. Well, when you are attached to sleeping, you love to sleep. So a devotee is detached. He sleeps what is required, 6 hours. Or say you were working on the farm full time, you might need 7 or 8 because you're doing heavy, heavy work. But generally, those in the mode of goodness, they sleep 6 hours. All right, Chiron, eating, sleeping, mating. How is a devotee detached from mating? Not having illicit sex? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Yes. So therefore, if you are a brahmachari, how detached from sex are you? Completely. Same for a sannyasi, right? But if you're a grihastha, then you're allowed this dispensation. All right? And how is a devotee detached from defending.
Defending in the sense that when the word is preached, they don't care if they don't care to whom they preach, whether or not they get attacked or.
Hey, he's doing good. Hold on. Pretty good, Mukun. Pretty good. That's a nice angle of vision. Chiron, what did you want to say? Hold on. I like where you're going. So what's the other side of being detached from defense? What's the other side? No. Okay. Most people, how do they defend themselves? Okay. So a devotee, how does he defend himself? That's the key. A devotee is detached from defending because he thinks Krishna will protect me. Yes. Yes. Or Prahlad. Did Prahlad ever try to defend himself? What did he do? And Krishna protected him. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a gun. You're allowed. But you will use it only when absolutely necessary. Not like what happened in Florida. Huh? No, not Florida. The Trayvon Martin incident. Yes. So, a devotee depends on protection from Krishna, but if necessary, the devotee will defend himself if it's a matter of life and death. Okay? But he's detached because he knows Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. What does that mean? No NRA can save you. And nobody can kill you. So ultimately the devotee is detached from defending. He'll do the needful. For instance, do you know the story? One time the devotees were on stage with Prabhupada. They were doing kirtan. Somebody from the audience started to attack the devotees. Prabhupada got down from his vyasasan and was swinging the kartals like nunchucks to protect his disciples. Right? When Lord Chaitanya heard about Jagai and Madai, what happened? What did he come with? Yes. But Nityananda said, no, not this time. What were you going to say, Mr. Chiron? Yes? Sit and listen. Realizes the absolute truth. Madhav. Define the absolute truth. That's it. Govind. Define the absolute truth. Chiron. How do you define the absolute truth? You're not wrong, but you're not giving me a complete answer. You're not wrong. It's just not as complete. What would you say, Mr. Mukund?
Well, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's no one that can go above.
All right, you're all basically saying the same thing. But that's all right. You're not wrong. You're just not complete. Ananda Vrindavan, how do you define the absolute truth?
Absolute truth.
Same thing as Chiron. That's all right. It's not wrong. Here is the standard definition of the absolute truth. As I skipped a couple of verses, the previous verse in this chapter defines the absolute truth. Do you want to learn? Okay. The absolute truth is a non-dual substance that is realized in three features. You see where I'm going? What are the three features of the absolute truth? Where? What? Brahman, Paramatma. You must have heard that from me at least a trillion times. No? Do you guys ever listen when I... What is my problem? How come I've been lecturing the same things for the past 30 years, and when I ask a question, it's like, huh? So what is wrong with my preaching? Tell me.
No competition.
No competition?
No, it's just like, it's like you tell us so many things, we don't know exactly what specifically.
You mean questions are confusing? You overthink it. Okay, fine. So, the absolute truth has three features. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So, of the three, which one is all pervasive?
Oh, wait, oh, Paramatma.
That's true. Anything else that's all pervasive? Brahman. Brahman is all pervasive because everything rests on Krishna's spiritual energy, yes? I'm glad you said Paramatma because Paramatma is both localized and all pervasive. Generally, the answer to the question of who's all pervasive, the answer is Brahman, generally. But I always throw in, but actually Paramatma is both localized and all pervasive. And which one is the personality of Godhead? Bhagavan. So, who realizes the absolute truth? What kind of student? Seriously inquisitive. And well equipped with what? And we just discussed detachment. So, the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that now, again, if you're on a sports athletic team, with the equipment, what do? You play a game, all right? You have to play the game. It's not enough just, okay, I'm all suited up. No, you want to play the game, right? That's why you practice. You want to get to the point where you play the game. So, you're serious, you're inquisitive, you're equipped. Now, in a football, what's the ultimate prize in football? The Super Bowl, right? That's so. In terms of Super Bowl, the absolute truth. The seriously inquisitive student stage wants to realize the absolute truth. So what's the game that he must play to realize the absolute truth? Devotional service. You got it? I'm trying to make a parallel here. In order to win the Super Bowl, you have to play, Super Bowl, you have to play football. So if you want to realize the absolute truth, you got to be serious, inquisitive, equipped with what two things? Knowledge and attachment. And how are you going to do it? By devotional service. Let's go back to the analogy. In a football game, you just play any way you want. What is it? There's rules, right? Because if you don't know the rules, you will lose. Because a lot of it is strategy. And if you don't know the rules, the other guy will outsmart you. Okay? So you better know the rules of the game. Or basketball, same way. And that happened recently in one of the playoff games. Recent. Somebody didn't know there was a certain play in a game. I think it was in the Heat's final. The guy didn't know the rule. And so he made this quick shot. And all the announcers said, that guy doesn't know. He cost them because the game was very close. And that it was one of the last plays of the game. If he had known the rules, Oklahoma would have won that game. You follow? It was right towards the end. Yeah. Because he didn't know, it went into the Heat won. So, if you're going to render devotional service, you have to do so in terms of the Vedanta. Okay? You don't make up your own, just like you can't make up your own basketball rules. Can you? No. So, in devotional service, you have to render devotional service according to Vedanta. Thank you. Are you ready to hear Prabhupada's purport? Are we learning anything? Okay. I will try to ask questions with more specificness so that you're not confused. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. One more time. And one more time. Prabhupada's purport to this verse. The absolute truth is realized in full. Why does he say full? Okay. The absolute truth is realized in full. What is Prabhupada referring to? Something we just discussed. The absolute truth is just Bhagavan? We just discussed this. So what's he talking about when he says the absolute truth is realized in full? What does that mean? Exactly. Because there is partial. Some people only get up to Brahman. You understand? Because I said there were three features. So if somebody realized Brahman, have they realized the absolute truth in full? No. Somebody else may realize Paramatma. Is he finished? So that's also partial. Now your statement makes sense. If I realize Bhagavan, am I full? Yes. Why? Why is that true and not the others? Why is Brahman realization partial? Why is Paramatma realization partial? Yet, if I realize Bhagavan, that's full. What's the answer? You're close. You almost said it. That's what he just said. That's true. It's okay. It's not a strong answer. The strong answer is Bhagavan includes Brahman and Paramatma. That answer shows you understand the concept better. Just saying, well, you know everything, doesn't show me that you understand the concept fully. Right? So, yes. For instance, if I have $1, does that mean I have two? If I have $2, does that mean I have at least one? But if I have $3, that means I have one and two, right? So when you realize the absolute truth in full, you realize all three. All right, let's continue. The absolute truth is realized by the process of devotional service to the Lord Vasudeva, everyone say, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Full-fledged, that's an expression. Full-fledged. Full-fledged means that one is completely loyal to. Like they say, this person is a full-fledged patriot. He's fully into it. You are a fully fledged into doing your service tomorrow, yes? Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence. Whose? Bhagavan, or whose name was just mentioned? Really? What name did we just chant? Vasudev. Called? Okay, Vasudev. Next. And Paramatma is his partial representation. Whose? Vasudev. What's another name for Vasudev? Who is Vasudev? Krishna. Krishna. Very good. So, partial representation. Why is Paramatma only a partial representation of Krishna? Why? But that doesn't answer the question why Paramatma is only a partial. Yeah, but it doesn't really answer the question. Let's see if Prabhupada later on. Okay? As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the Absolute Truth is but a partial realization. The answer I would give, the reason why Paramatma or Super Soul is partial is, first of all, he's a reflection. And he doesn't have all the qualities of Bhagavan as does Narayan, Krishna, or Vishnu. Let's see if Prabhupada says any more. There are four different types of human beings. Anybody know the answer to this question? What are the four types of human beings? Anybody? Okay, which one are we? What are we? And don't say Hindus. Devotees. What's under devotees? What's the next best type of person? Yogis. What's better than, what's not as high as the yogis? No, you're in the wrong. Gyanis. And who's in the lowest? No, you're thinking wrong. Karmis. You got to think of the groups. Karmis. Karmis are what? What are karmis? Yes, fruitive workers. Gyanis. What do they do? Yes, mental speculation. What do yogis do? Yeah, they do yoga. And what do devotees do? Devotional service. Okay. And Prabhupada, now, the karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. What are the other three? Devotees. The first class, transcendentalists, are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class, transcendentalists, are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. There's a lot there. So, the second class, transcendentalists, have partially realized the plenary. What does the word plenary mean? Plenary means full. Plenary means full. I've said that a billion times. Plenary means full. So what's a plenary portion? What? A full portion. Is portion the whole? No. But it's a full portion. No. No. So the second class transcendentalists have partially realized the plenary portion of the. So that's why Paramatma is not complete. Because he is a plenary portion. So Prabhupada did answer it. You see, not an oxymoron. No. Paramatma is full, but he's only a portion of the Absolute Person. Chiron, who is the Absolute Person? And in today's purport, what was he referred to as? Vasudev. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. Which aspect of the Absolute Truth is Prabhupada referring to? The Brahman. Not the Brahman. 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 A Brahman is supposed to be fixed in Brahman. Brahmana comes from this Brahman. All right. Today I'm making you think. Okay? I'm giving your brain a workout. Okay? After all, this is practice. All right. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service. I have said, year after year, there are how many verses in the Bhagavad Gita that state specifically that God is realized by devotional service? How many verses in the Bhagavad Gita? You were close. Three. There may be four, but definitely three. In chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 18. Three major verses that confirm that Krishna or God is realized only by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. Yeah, but it doesn't say that the Absolute, that Krishna is realized by devotional service. Okay? Welcome, Dada. Please sit on your Vyasasan and listen to the class. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. That was last week's class. Last week when I was here, that's the verse we studied. The two things that automatically come when you render devotional service. Knowledge and detachment. And that you don't have to go for it separately. Like some people think, in order for you to do devotional service, first, you have to get all kinds of knowledge. Then you have to become detached. Then you can do devotional service. But that's not what Lord Chaitanya teaches. That's not what ISKCON teaches. This whole Rath Yatra. If anybody gets involved with Rath Yatra, they will get knowledge and detachment. For instance, you understand the point? You don't have to first learn all about... No, just get involved. Do something. Make a garland. Work on the carts. Help Ratna. Do whatever. You will get knowledge and detachment. And I explained last week how you all have practical experience of that. Because how many years now you have helped? Right. And now look at you. The other Sunday, I'm eating prasad outside. And there's a whole group of devotees. And who's leading kirtan with the harmonium? Madhav. And your daddy was so happy. I have never seen your daddy with such a big smile on his face. Very good. So I pointed out last week that you are living proof of the verse that we studied, that by rendering devotional service, you automatically gain knowledge and detachment. You like doing that service for the Laguna Beach Temple? You're getting knowledge. You're getting knowledge and detachment. Let us continue. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, namely the paths of jnana and yoga. So, by the path of jnana, the best you can do is realize Brahman. By the path of yoga, the best you can do is realize Paramatma. That's the best you can do. Are also imperfect means of realizing the absolute truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge, combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral, look what I'm looking, oral, not this oral, aural, right? This is oral, right? You take medicine orally. You don't put the medicine aurally. You take the medicine orally. You see the difference? No, orally is spelled O-R. That means through the mouth. When something is aurally, it's A-U through the ears. Correcto? Which is fixed by the aural reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the absolute truth. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. Now, which group thinks that the devotees are less intelligent? Huh? Mayavadis, exactly. They blaspheme devotees. Yes, the Mayavadis, that was what was happening to Lord Chaitanya. Prakashananda Sarasvati and the Mayavadis were saying, Lord Chaitanya, you are a sentimentalist. And your followers are all low-class people just doing your chanting and dancing. We do the high-grade activities, meditation, and we discuss Vedanta Sutra. Just like you may go to some universities. So say you go to a college and you do Harinam on the quad. Some people will appreciate. But then there'll be some professors and they'll go, look at these useless people. They can't get a job. We are professors. We are discussing chemistry, biology, and all these ologies. Look at these useless people with musical instruments sitting down and singing songs. They're low class. You see the point? But no. They may think less intelligent. But do you remember another class we had here? Sumedasa? Do you remember that word? What does Sumedasa mean? Not Sumedasa. That was Upamedasa. So what's Sumedasa?
Smart.
Very smart. And the verse that we discussed, who is very smart? Those who do a certain type of activity. Sankirtan. You remember that class? Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Bhagavatam 11th canto. Those who are intelligent, they do Sankirtan. So is Ratiyatra Sankirtan? Yeah, it's Maha Sankirtan. How long the parade lasts? 2 hours. 2 hours of chanting. Sumedasa. Let's finish up. There are three classes of devotees. Namely, first, second, and third class. The third class devotees, or the neophytes, who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshiping the deity in the temple are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. We see this all the time. Some people come to the temple, they go, but what are they asking for? Give me money, cure my disease, make sure my wife, make sure my son gets into medical college, right? Others are going to the temple for transcendental profit. Give me an example of transcendental profit. Exactly. Next Friday, where will you be at this time? What will you be doing? Yes. You will be seeking transcendental profit. Do you want something material from Lord Jagannath? What do you want?
A garland.
You want a garland? No, all you want is a little prasad, a little place to sleep in the prasadam room, correct? And lots of service. What does your mother want? Yes, she wants more and more transcendental profit in means of deity. What kind of transcendental profit do I want? More programs. I have two tomorrow and two Sunday. I have a private program in the morning. Are you guys coming to Kundan Loka? Always? Yes, but try to come before 8 o'clock. All right. So that's the difference. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely, personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. So those are the four. When you come to the second stage, you're able to know there is God, here are the devotees, next door are the ignorant, and across the street is the envious demon. One has to raise him or herself at least to the stage of a second-class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. So the neophyte cannot realize the absolute truth. Why? Because he's remaining on the material platform. You cannot realize God and stay on the material platform. When you remain on the material platform, basically you realize that Lord Shiva is God for you. Because that's as far as you go. You're still on the material platform. When you come to the spiritual platform, now you understand, oh, Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna is God. All right. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavat. The number one Bhagavat is the established personality of devotee. And the other Bhagavat is the message of Godhead. So there's two kinds of Bhagavats. The pure devotee and the book. You got that? The third class devotee has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Shukadeva Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-around benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man just to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing, so one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy messages of Godhead, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly transcendental subjects. But even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils milk simply by the touch of his tongue. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of one's progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless, and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, or Pancharatra authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his or herself constantly. This is called samadhi. So let's look at the translation one more time so that we learn it properly. So, what kind of student were we talking about today? What were the two qualifications? Serious? Inquisitive. Okay? And he's equipped with two things. Knowledge. And what is he going to realize? The absolute truth. How? By devotional service. And how should that devotional service be rendered? Which is the last part of the whole purport. Really? That's what the end of the purport talked about? No. By hearing from authorities. Now, next question. What are the two Bhagavats? Pure devotee. The messenger is the pure devotee. The book. Okay, those are the two Bhagavats. The pure devotee and the book. Yeah. The message is in the book. The messenger is the pure devotee. Very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.